Is football a microcosm and a lens through which we can analyse politics, entertainment, general decline and entropy of our entire culture? Tribalism? I hope so. Otherwise, unlike Joe Rogan's advice to me that you should do stuff that you authentically care about, we will experience a great drop-off in viewing figures. But I urge you to stay with us. For example, maybe you're a royalist who cares about the coronation. New king's in town. Literally a new king's in town and a new queen. They kept that quiet. But how do they feel up at Glasgow Celtic at the possibility of a new monarch and a coronation? I bet they're well into it because the Scots, they love us.
They
love England and they love kings, queens, all that. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to them en masse chanting. It's good, isn't it, really? Because it's succinct. You can just shove it up your ass. Well, I want to take this opportunity, actually, just to talk about their recent games and to give an overview of where the Premier League currently is. After leading for the entire season, Arsenal are entering a period of not decline, but deterioration, would you call it? Even though they beat Chelsea really well last night.
I don't know if it's decline. I just think Man City are incredible and they've hit an amazing run of form.
Yeah, it's more like they're an unstoppable football force backed by a nation and inconceivable wealth. And if you pay too much attention to it, the only conclusion that can be drawn is that, like all things, football, entertainment, music, politics, everything has been completely and entirely corrupted by money. And the only way you wouldn't pay attention to that is if you supported Manchester City or indeed Newcastle United, in which case you sort of go, oh, this is actually brilliant. I can't believe how much fun this is. And sort of be willing to put aside the certain knowledge that there's something deeply, deeply unfair about this mad acquisition of players, in particular Calvin Phillips, who's just been purchased to essentially watch other people play football while earning presumably a couple hundred grand a week.
Front row seats to see some of the best players in the world.
When you watched Man City versus Arsenal round my house with your dinner on your lap, did you think that the players on the City bench, like Foden, would be so celebrated and adored at Arsenal that it might, on some level, be distasteful to be in that position, and maybe that there should be some reshuffle? And isn't it sort of weird that American sport, when America is so ultimately corporatized, has this peculiar socialism throughout its sports?
The draft system.
For example. Yeah.
Amazing. I know, when you look at that bench of City, and you look at what Arsenal have been able to do by bringing in Zinchenko and Gabriel and Jesus this year, and the kind of impact that they've made to the Arsenal team. And then you looked at the Man City bench and who they could bring on. You thought, well, what if they went to Arsenal? What a difference they would make. But Man City can just bring them on, switch out some other players. Amazing. I mean, there was all that talk earlier in the season, wasn't it? Of, oh, Man City, they're not the same team. They're just not. And Haaland, he's not really working, is he? Because about the whole ethos of the team, it's just not really working. He's like, come on, you idiots. Like, as if Pep Guardiola doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, they're incredible. They're absolutely incredible.
Seem to have scored like an old-fashioned number of goals.
Yeah.
Like 50 goals. Like an amount of, like the people wearing sort of like mad brown Billy Boots old-style football shoes would score.
Yeah.
Sort of like he's travelling through time as well as travelling through distance. I've got a few things that I want to talk about. These are my general observations accrued from paying attention to football over the course of the week. Here they are. A lot of Liverpool players have big hair, like in history, where like you would have players like McDermott and Keegan that would have big hair,
like
a spate of big hair.
Yeah.
Haaland, at a particular point during the game against Arsenal, let his hair down.
Yeah.
And it was actually sort of quite maddeningly erotic, I thought.
It kind of was.
To see his tumbling golden tresses. It's like sort of almost sexual.
It was kind of sexual. It was like he'd taken some clothes off, but it was just letting his hair down.
He was literally letting his hair down. But in the story Iron John, A Myth About Masculinity, there is a significant moment where the protagonist of the myth, the young boy who has met Iron John, when he was willing to break out of the castle, Iron John is caged within the courtyard. Iron John cannot be released unless you're willing to steal the key from underneath your mother's pillow. You have to steal away the boy your mother dreamed of in order to unleash the wild man, Iron John, who was found at the bottom of the river with his rust-coloured fur. He rolls a golden ball, does Iron John, to the boy, and the boy takes the golden ball and it's actually vice versa. The boy's golden ball rolls to Iron John. He goes, come up all back, please, mate. And Iron John goes, only if you let me out of here, the key's under your mum's pillow. The boy does do it. He takes that choice. He makes that decision. Later in the story, when he's been cast out because of as a result of these decisions, there's a moment where in front of another king's daughter, he takes off his hat, revealing his golden tresses. And it's sort of a moment that the boy's specialness is revealed to us. And I think that Harland has sort of, he's like a modern mythic figure,
yep,
because he's potent and powerful and beautiful, but isn't he somehow mechanical? Mm. Like even before he came to City, when he used to do them interviews, yep, he would be like monosyllabic, yep, like binary language. Like there's a bluntness to him, sort of a bluntness to his excellence. When you think of like that he's being hailed as the new Messi, like the natural successor of the mantle of the world's best player, though the previous one was like a small boy from Argentina, sort of slightly damaged and his mischievous genius, nevertheless, in spite of his diminutive size, blesses him and transports him across the world, that the next incarnation of that for this age is this mighty Nordic cyborg with presumably a Thor's hammer like cock that he could possibly the helmet more red than the usual man's.
Right, that's what you imagine, is it?
You know that purple dye was difficult to acquire back in old times.
Okay,
that's why purple is associated with regency and like royalness,
right,
and helmets. But Harland, my suspicion is there's a sort of a potent roaring redness to it.
I love the thought of you making notes on football over the weekend, and you know, Manchester City have won and this, that and the other, they've regained top spot, and Harland, isn't he like a robotic Nordic? And I think he's probably got a more purple tip of his penis than everyone else. It's just an amazing way you get to that, I think.
Arsenal's, as you say, not decline, but inevitable, what do you want to call it, surrender,
sure,
to the might of Manchester City. Many people highlight Rob Holding, the centre-back who's replacing, what's his name, Saliba?
Yeah.
Like that he's the problem. And isn't it inconvenient that it's like his name is Rob Holding,
yeah,
and he's a sort of a placeholder player. Yeah. And there was one bit where he was holding Haaland,
yeah,
as
unsuccessfully.
Well.
Yeah.
Couldn't hold on to him, no, even though his name is Rob Holding. He can't even do that right. Like literally your name.
Mm.
You know, like, and like, do you sometimes think that their names, like Pep, has got this incredible vim,
right,
and power. And of course, Arsene Wenger's name sounded too like Arsenal. And I think about it all the time. And even Arteta sounds a bit like Arsenal.
Yeah.
And Klopp sounds a bit like Cop.
Yeah.
And when Conte was manager of Spurs, I used to think even that has a certain, if you just change one letter, it describes Tottenham almost perfectly. Sometimes like your name or some aspect of your identity is somehow informing your reality. There's Kevin Keegan, for those of you who didn't know. Even though we know that American interest in the sport of football is growing,
yeah,
enormously, because mostly of Wrexham. I'm irritated by this for a number of reasons. Firstly, Wrexham rhymes nearly with West Ham, the team I support. That's one of the reasons.
Okay.
Secondly, it's because it's
a stretch, but go on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is a stretch because the main reason is because it's like Ryan Reynolds, a Hollywood star, and his other mate out of Sunny in Philadelphia own it, and I'm annoyed that that's happened.
Yeah.
And that it's been so evidently and obviously a triumph,
success.
Yeah. And like our mate David Squires, the cartoonist for The Guardian, does a brilliant sort of football column. He says, no, this is still a heartwarming story. And I mean, look, I don't want to take the sort of fun out of it because of my own petty jealousies. Wrexham, the club that I'm sure you're aware now, Ryan Reynolds and his mate from Sunny in Philadelphia own, got promoted to the Football League. And here they are going around Wrexham, which, in case you don't know, you probably do, because there's probably a TV show about it that I refuse to watch out of pettiness.
There is one, yeah.
And that probably tells you all these details. Like, that is in Wales, like, which is, has its own relationship with our country, England. And it's one of feeling like, sort of like that we are, like that we dominated them, yeah, sort of both economically, culturally, imperially and colonially, like Britain, like all empires first dominate, you know, their own population, then their neighbours. And then they think, right, are there some other people elsewhere that have got gold and other stuff and cups of tea we could be nicking? Anyway, Wales are the first country, one of the first, along with the Irish, of course, that the British and the English, whatever, screwed over. Here is Ryan Reynolds and Tim McEnany, Rob McElhenney.
That's it, yeah.
Rob McElhenney.
Perfectly pronounced.
Celebrating in an open-top bus. I've not watched this yet. I know it's going to upset me.
Oh, God.
Let's have a look.
Someone get the tissues.
They should have opened with that shot. That's the sort of impressive shot, isn't it? For something that's happening in like Wrexham. Not that I've spent a lot of time in Wrexham. I like and respect you. And if you are in Wrexham, obviously you're enjoying this and it's fantastic and it's the best thing that's ever happened.
It's actual fairy tale stuff, isn't it? You know, it's incredible.
When David Gold, God rest his soul, and David Sullivan took over West Ham, even though they're money was made through pornography industry.
Very similar.
This is good. These guys are going to wank us back to the big time. We're wanking all over the world. I was sort of excited by it and everything. Yeah. But this is amazing. It's Deadpool and everything.
Yeah.
And what a move getting Ben Foster, who's been a guest on this show, to come on. It's only petty jealousy. And I know that petty jealousy is something I have to overcome. I actually applaud Ryan Reynolds and Tom McKay.
Yeah, because the reality of it is, Ross, if you'd have done this,
I'd be so happy.
Well, first of all, you'd be so happy, but would we have got to this point, or would there have been issues in week one of...
Would there have been?
What is their kit like? How should they have their hair?
I don't like that geezer!
is the tip of his dick purple enough? I mean, there'd be so many things that you needed to...
This is ragback. Exactly what hue do you imagine? I've seen this sort before. He's got a tight foreskin, I'll mark you. Too tight. I bet he can't even fully pull it back. I'm going into the cold baths with those lads. Yeah, I would have... You're right. There is so much opportunity for there to be a problem. But you know...
You can just pretend you're them. Like, just pretend...
I'm not doing that. I'm not pretending I'm them. I won't do it.
Because I think you'll get more enjoyment out of it.
Pretending I'm them.
If you were doing it yourself, I think it would be so laden with issues and problems for you.
I struggle to pretend I'm me. I'm not pretending I'm them. I won't do it.
Right.
I've got too much... Only just enough dignity to not do that. Yeah. But you think that's a better method, is it?
I think so, because I will say it's amazing what's happened. And like, I applaud them and I think they've gone about it in all the right ways. And just seeing this, like, what's incredible is like that they really have bought into the whole culture of it. They've not just gone, right, we're going to go every now and again to a game and then we'll put some money in. They're there like all the time. They're doing this, I mean, they're literally, this status quo. They've probably never heard that song rocking all over the world. It's like real like working class football culture that those two guys have obviously really bought into. And I think that's amazing. But what I will say is when you get into the Football League and then you start going up the divisions, it's not about putting a few million quid in. You're talking about putting in tens, hundreds of millions of quid in. And whether or not things will change, I don't want to be, you know, I put a dampener on it, but I think things get a bit tougher.
I do want to put a dampener on it. Right, okay. Here is that dampener. Like Ted Lasso,
yeah,
right? That sort of becomes sort of a popular thing. Won't watch that for other reasons of pettiness. Pettiness. My whole cultural intake is determined by pettiness.
Right.
I can basically only watch our stuff back, and even then, for only about 5 minutes, right? So, but what I feel is that at somewhere, marketing decisions have been made, and ultimately, the Disney show, isn't it just lower league Man City?
Right.
Let me know. And again, I don't want to be a cynical person. I don't see that as my role in the world, but I actually feel that football is a powerful window into the heart of our national psyche and perhaps football more broadly. And let us know what sort of sport means to you, that it's somehow deeply connected to community and the sort of romance that they're enjoying and the cultural connection that they're enjoying might elsewhere be regarded as a kind of cultural appropriation if it were similarly being utilized for profit. But we'll sort of see where it goes. And I'd totally understand if I supported Wrexham and I wasn't so petty, I'd be well into it. I'd be totally well into it. But like, and it's, you can't make the comparison, obviously, that like some like actors are comparable to, I don't know, can you? Because it gets complicated when you start talking about Abu Dhabi and Saudi Arabian money behind Newcastle, because you can say, well, hold on a minute, they literally are regimes that have values that are at odds with our progressivism. But then you have to expand that conversation now and go, well, what about the values that are behind the colonialism that put Britain in the position that it was in the first place? You know, even this country, you know, if you've seen The Crown, you'll have seen like that mining disaster that could have been handled differently in the 1960s, Aberaffam or whatever, you know, like it captures and harnesses so many of the beautiful things about human beings and some of the flawed things as well. Yep. Like, because as much as it brings about unity, it brings about tribalism. But I feel like it's an honest crucible for humans coming together, football.
Yeah.
It's a place where you can really like learn about, like I watched this thing the other day, right? Where it talks about Millwall and West Ham United, the team I support, and Millwall, their historic rival. It was talking a documentary about like their deep entrenched hatred between them. And even up until 2012, I think, when there was a sort of a cup match between West Ham and Millwall, there was still violence then, even when like sort of football violence was in decline. I watched a documentary where it was a Millwall fan's perspective on those events. It's just a YouTube video, actually. He was going like, the only time that we've ever put aside this is for like this young kid got cancer.
Right.
And but Millwall fans and West Ham fans raised money for this young kid with cancer. Mm. And he goes like, and sadly she died, God love her, like little four-year-old girl. And like in the video, he goes, you know, the only time Millwall fans West Ham come and give her is for Lily, I think her name was Lily. She was a beautiful case. And we actually even wore the colours of Claret and Blue to support her. To this day, she is the only West Ham fan who will be welcome at the Den. that's how entrenched the rivalry and the hatred is. But they did indeed come together. And of course, notably around the like sort of terrible deaths, unlawful deaths of the 97 that died at Hillsborough, but the Liverpool fans, the Liverpool v Forest Cup semi-final. Like Everton, their local rivals came together. And even on that day, Forest fans supported, because the fixture was recent. Liverpool played in the top flight recently. Like, there's so much sentiment, so much potency, so much power in it that I actually genuinely sometimes think that it's something that could contribute meaningfully to cultural and social change. That people understand something that's difficult to articulate around football, and that actually fans should own their football teams, that they shouldn't be corporatized, that they should belong to the people that support the club, that, and all of the things that would bring about would ultimately end up being ethical and more fair. Oh no, we can't pay as much money. Like, it would somehow be a leveler if fans owned their football clubs and were invested in their community. And I don't know, man. So I guess like the spectacle of football is in a sense the least interesting, even though it's a bloody interesting part of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, again, to go back to the Wrexham thing, I think like talking about them going about it in the right way, I understand that they really have as well. Like, not to like just go on about how great they are, but I think they've done a lot of work with the local communities. Yeah, they've really got fans on board. It really feels like they have done this the right way. As I say, I think it'll be then the step up. Like, what happens when it's the next division? The next, if you look at like Salford, who are owned by literally like Neville and Beckham, like that. What even has, they? Well, they're
where
doing,
are they now?
They're doing fine. League One, League Two, League One, maybe. Sorry if I've got that wrong, but you know, it's not like they're not in the Premier League. It takes, and if you think of all the experience and connections that they've got between that lot and what it takes to get a football team up the leagues, you're essentially saying you need to plough millions and millions into, you know, in this case, I mean, as you say, Man City, look how they're doing, look how much money Newcastle.
Do you think that with this, that when they were selling this idea to Disney, they went like, look, it's probably plausible that you'll get promotion to the Football League, that will be worth this amount. And then subsequently, we could have been 3 seasons being playing in the Prem, and here's a financial plan of the type of investment that'll be required. Now, anyone knows that when you get to League One and the Championship, that these are very competitive and unpredictable leagues where you can get mired for seasons, even if you're a heritage club, like, you know, the great Yorkshire clubs, or it's easy to sort of drop division after division. Watch that great show, Sunderland Till I Die, to see how difficult that can be. Did Sunderland get promotion back to the Championship the other day? Where are they?
Well, they're in the Championship. They're in the currently, so it goes to the last game of the season. They might make it into
the playoffs. They might make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So like, and but they were in like League One for season after season. It kept just not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
They got to finals and all sorts of stuff. I think the thing with this is it's going to be very, very difficult. It's going to be very difficult if with the ownership side of things that you would feel that they would have to get on, you know, bring in investors. I'm sure they already have to an extent, but like big, big investors would have to come on board. And then again, I don't know, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you look at likes of Liverpool, and apparently LeBron James is invested in Liverpool. And part of that, you're like, I don't know if I like this, that it just feels like a kind of a business relationship with a football club, that LeBron James doesn't support Liverpool, that, you know, and these guys, it looks very different to that, you know, as I say. But I guess what you're talking about is economically and business-wise, are there comparisons there? And of course there will be. They're not going to have got into this without people going, you'll make this if you do the documentary. These are projections for year one, year two, year three. By then you'll have to bring these investors in. By then you'll have to bring those in. Of course that will absolutely be happening. It's difficult because there's a kind of, I guess, a cynical way of approaching it and a reality way of approaching it. But you can't also then, when you see scenes like this, kind of take that away from it, because it's amazing that these guys will have that.
I know, but I think that's, look, as I keep owning, some of it's petty jealousy because it's the sort of thing I'd like to do. Like, so that's, yeah, you know, like that I completely
you
own.
You talked about it before. Who was it we were talking about doing? I mean, we had someone from a fan group come on, I think.
And said like that we could do it.
Wasn't like Boreham Wood or something, was it? No.
I would like the one that Alan Devonshire manages. I think that's Maidenhead.
Right, Maidenhead. All right.
It's probably expensive.
Right, like, you better get your financial advisors together then.
But our one would be like, sort of like, this is the good hearted Disney one. Maidenhead. Let's get them together. Sort of, right, sort of imitate step by step, right, scene by scene.
Yeah. Well, you know Reynolds. Get him on a call.
He didn't respond to the last message. Fine. And I think that's also contributed, actually. All right. I've got a few other things to add to this. Can I add them?
Of course you can.
Right, so I'm still like saying how many players for Liverpool. I know that some of them are people of colour, like, so I'm not like making a point about Afro hair.
I know
you're
not.
I'm still like Liverpool's heritage with big hair. Curtis Jones,
yeah.
Diaz's hair is quite big.
Yep.
Now I'm moving on to the subject, and obviously there's Salah, of course, and Trent.
Of course.
Now I just want to say Gakpo is a name people like saying.
It is. It's a cool name.
It's enjoyable to say Gakpo.
Is your point about the hair, though, going back to that, are you trying to say they're trying to channel the successes of that earlier Liverpool side through hairstyles?
There's a continuum. Whilst Liverpool are apparently a team who, due to their deteriorating midfield, are unable to compete at the very highest level, they all seem like a little bit too tired.
Yeah, right.
That wrong with their hair.
Right.
Their hair is thriving and flourishing.
Do you think there was a point in the season where they just hadn't won? I mean, I think they've won four on the trot now, but they hadn't won two on the spin or something, where Klopp said, it's time for plan B, all grow your hair.
Why don't Virgil van Dijk undo his
hair? Let it out. Like Haaland.
When I saw him falling over when he was sort of turned, I think by... So I can't remember, Kane, maybe. I don't know. Like so for one of the goals against Tottenham, where they eventually won 4-3.
It might have been Son, actually, yeah.
I thought that wouldn't have happened. There used to be a stat that nobody in the world had got past him at all. Like he was just an invincible force. You can't get past him.
No.
Like he's
sad, isn't it? I mean, you know, that's football, isn't it? You get injured, things change.
Life changes. There's a few things that I want to talk. Yeah, Gakpo, it could be a good name for a cocaine slang or a Teletubbies name.
Yeah,
could work for either of those things. Also, Spurs were sort of unlucky in that game, so they hit the post a couple of times.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, they were unlucky ultimately. Ryan Mason, current incumbent as Spurs coach, tea celebrations are quite muted.
Yes, they are. And I noticed that as well.
And Klopp's are too much.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are saying that it's a crime what he did.
Yeah.
Like that he shouldn't have done it and he went too far. Can we have a look at it here? If you're just listening to this on audio, we will commentate and describe it for you perfectly. Let's have a look at Klopp's celebration, during which he injured himself, actually. That's so primitive, isn't it? That's...
that... the way... I like the way he still bangs his chest after pulling his hamstring at the same time.
That's almost like you've sort of followed through on a fart, done a poo, possibly a pile's come out, and then sort of still beat your chest. Yeah. Like, I am more powerful. We'll do. We're going to have to push that back in with a lolly stick. Like, yeah. That's incredible. What he did there, that's literally... Apes do that.
Yeah.
Don't they? Like he came up, and it's also like what Keon done to that referee famous Arsenal United clash in the early 90s.
Yeah,
late
with
90s.
Van Nistelrooy and all that.
Yeah, like sort of that bit where they all, like, too many of them had skinheads or something. Oh, no, that was like, no, that was United when Stam and Keane, too many of the team had skinheads, the opposite of Liverpool's laissez-faire long hair receiving signals from another world. Like, he actually, this is the bit that's most interesting. Before he sort of starts feeling up his own ass, look how he rears up. And also, this fourth official actually looks like he can handle himself. Because he's he ain't that phased. If someone had done that to me, I think a bit, maybe some weed would come out.
It certainly would. Of course it would. How much do you think?
I'd figure not...
Like if you were putting it in a little jar.
Egg cup.
An egg cup full of weed. Yeah.
Like
but what when about sometimes when weed comes out and you think, that should only be a little bit because it feels like it should only be a little bit.
But when
bit.
You see it splash.
There's loads.
That's like blood in a murder mystery. As you know, I was in Death Down the Nile. A little bit of blood make a lot of work for Poirot. That was his catchphrase. A little lard make a lot of work for Poirot.
That's a catchphrase.
Yeah. Not like Kenneth Branagh's catchphrase when he was directing me. I told you, keep still! That's his catchphrase. I'm trying to, Sir Kenneth Branagh. I am still in it. You're not. You're moving your head.
I'm going to need some help with him. What are we going to do with him?
Get someone else who's better at acting, like we originally tried to.
That film where you were playing me?
Death Down and Isle, as I perform as Gareth Roy. Now, let's see if this guy flinches, and then you'll see and understand why we had to have that muscly lino. You know that muscly lino that fronted up to Andy Robertson?
That's right, yeah.
I knew that geezer was trouble.
Did you?
Yeah, I'd noticed him. He was too... He had the body of a narcissist.
Okay,
right. No one does that, did it? What you thought I was going to say?
No, I just...
Sexy?
No, I...
He was.
I never know how long before you mention the tip of someone's penis, that's all.
Always on the tip of... The tip of the penis is always on the tip of my tongue. That's what makes it difficult for me to do tongue twisters. Go on, let's see him rise up again against him. Like the bit where he... Oh, no, there's a bit where he actually... I think he loomed. Go back another 20... another 1.5 seconds backwards if you don't mind.
You could watch this over and over, couldn't you?
This is the interesting moment for me. The hamstring's just inadvertent. That's like... Did he loom? Go back again, would you? I just want to see it in normal time. Let's see if he looms. Oh, that's a bob.
Yeah, it's
he sort of bobs.
Yeah. It's almost a headbutt threat, isn't it, at that point?
Yeah. Oh, and he's snarling now.
Look at him.
And that's now his anger's fueled by the hamstring.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And feeling a little bit stupid. Surely a little bit stupid.
Yeah.
Do you not think so? You think he just doesn't care about that cop?
The adrenaline's probably so high that you can carry your way through it. Now, this is the narcissist lino that confronted Andy Robertson. And like when, he sort of went to elbow him, but it's that sort of, it's the same, when there's an altercation between an official and a player, I think the officials always only sort of mime their part of the occasion. In the famous Paolo Di Canio versus, was he called Paul Alcock or something like that? Like the way that referee went down was like he'd been shot.
Yes.
Like in the skirmish between those two.
That was embarrassing.
It didn't really touch him.
No.
It didn't really touch him, but Andy Robertson was like proper pissed off.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, because it's a transgression, isn't
That's the thing, isn't it?
It's like when that French copper kicked a bin during a riot. Hold on a minute, you're meant to be the police.
Yeah.
Don't kick that wheelie bin, mate. Mm. We asked you to contribute your most embarrassing moments where you have celebrated. This is the question. I think we posted this on Elon Musk's Citadel of Truth.
Yes.
AKA Twitter. After Jurgen Klopp's freak injury while celebrating Liverpool's late win out of the Spurs, what's the silliest injury you've sustained while watching, playing, or celebrating sport? Neil Clark, did my hamstring Klopp style showing off at a kids v parents sports day.
Oh.
Embarrassing to hurt yourself at sports day.
Have you done any sports days
yet? Tug of war.
Oh, how did that go?
I was on the losing side. And I was as the anchor, which is actually quite a significant position in a tug of war.
Yes, it is.
As you know.
We did some last year.
Oh, here?
The team, yeah.
Yeah, I went here. I was on holiday, wasn't I? That's when you do all of your events. So, like, I actually was in a tug of war and I was the last person. But actually, there was, like, one of the people, there's a stuntman, there's farmers, you know. I picked the wrong side. I could have been on either side because I've got two daughters and one of them's in each year.
Oh.
backed you picked the wrong daughter. Oh, yeah, dear. That's what I did. Because like losing a tug of war is actually quite undignified because you sort of go, whoa, like that, and you sort of, sort of fall forward.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like
you
it.
You made me bump into the person in front of
you. Oh, sorry about that, mate. Oh, no, we've lost this war of tugging. Couldn't we tug harder?
Did you have a strategy, though? Because do you remember when that Squid Game was on? Everyone watched Squid Game.
That Squid Game was what I was going for.
Right. That was like everyone suddenly had a technique for
strategy.
Tug of war.
What was it again? You let them go a bit and then you pull back.
That's right.
That was too complicated to use Squid Game, sadly. But what I just thought was try to tug as hard as you can.
That was your
like
strategy,
this,
was it?
Like it's I tugged and I tugged.
Like it's 1999.
Bloody nine. And they tugged us forward to a front topple.
Oh, no.
It was a shame. I think my footwear as well, as I recall.
What were you wearing?
Probably a socks and a sliders. I went down to barefoot. I don't know.
Not the Winkle Pickers, was it?
Huh?
Not the Winkle Pickers.
I was wearing a very thin Winkle Pickle, a beetle boot. I could have dug those down into the turf.
Yeah, of course you could.
Of course I could have done.
You'll have another one this year, won't you? Will you be back?
I'm going to be much more circumspect about the side I pick, and I will be clinging to the waist of a stuntman, something like that, or a farmer. And I'll say, I don't think I should be the anchor.
No.
Because the anchor's fun.
What do you want to be? You want to be front, don't you? Do you?
Is that good?
Yeah, I think at the front, because also then if you win, I mean, I just think maybe
then
that's
I'm like the captain,
the place for you. Yeah, maybe.
You might be right.
Did you notice were your daughters watching?
No, thank God. Right. They don't care.
Okay.
They also, look, this is the type of school where it's not like hotly competed and people sort of, it's not like Jurgen Klopp farting out a hemorrhoid and banging himself on the chest till he breaks his own sternum. It's not like that.
Good.
I was training with a female Muay Thai ex-world amateur champion. While doing a sparring session, says Jason Cole, I went for a sort of trip. She said, no, can't do that. I was new at the time. She subsequently tripped me so hard that I broke one of the ribs. Oof. So painful. And even to fart felt like someone was hitting me in that spot with a bat. What, in the ass spot? Oh, no, the rib. I subsequently learned how to fall asleep bolt upright after having to do this for 6 weeks. Ripped by others for trying to do the trip in the first place, humbled for sure. You've got to be careful.
Yeah, I like the way he wrote that. It was nice.
Beautifully written.
Humbled,
bolt upright.
Humbled for sure.
Well, all right, mate. Now, talking about unlikely writing.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because with farts, that's meant to be a relief. That's meant to feel good.
Fart's my one remaining pleasure in life.
Right, exactly.
Like a good fart that feels like it's coming from the depths.
Yes.
That's all I've got.
Exactly.
I've actually taken to farting on stage live performances, audibly, like farting. I did one in a show the other week.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm sorry about that. And the front row is a small venue. The front row, I said, probably the first, there's one now. I said, the first three rows were probably in the danger zone.
Of course they were. Yeah, I've been, I mean.
And of course, when we watched City Arsenal, I was fighting quite
a lot.
You
were doing
that
a lot.
While we were having that curry.
I had a barbecue with a guy the other day, which sounds a bit weird. I don't know him that well, but it's in this flat that I'm living in, and I was driving back home.
Is it the guy that came when I visited you that first day, that young lad?
Different guy. It's a different guy. And he said,
what is it? Like fucking Beverly Hills 90210 around there, these young guys, Luke Perry coming out.
He's 36. Okay. Anyway, he said, hello, how are you? And I was like, no, I'm fine. What are you doing? And he said, I'm doing a barbecue.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, have a nice time. And then as I got out of the car, he said, do you want to join me for the barbecue? Obviously, at that
point. Did you
want
to?
Well, I never want to do anything. So the answer is no. I wanted to go into my
home,
be alone, maybe be a bit sad
cry.
And watch football. Yeah, all of those things. But of course, because I'm a people pleaser, I was like, oh, sure, that would be absolutely wonderful.
Where was the barbecue in relation to your home?
It was at the front in the kind of communal garden bit.
Would you have been out to see it? And would they have been out to see you, like, at the window?
No. If I'd have snuck in, they wouldn't have seen me. No, it was at the front and I'm at the back.
Right.
I know this story is dragging on a little bit.
I like
it.
Right. It's one of my favourite bits of the show.
So,
because during the bits where we're talking about Wrexham, I think my bitterness is not the kind of personal aspect of myself I want to portray.
Right.
Portray.
But farts and things were good.
Fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
What's going on at this barbecue? Is this heading towards a fart?
Well, it is heading towards a fart.
Because fart at a barbecue sounds like birds. Well, it's fart at a barbecue, mate. Like that.
Yeah. Well, he, like, I don't know him that well. And
what's
we exchanged.
His
name is, there you go. I can't even remember it. Andy.
Hell.
His name's Andy.
Right.
Yeah, his name's Andy.
Go on.
He seems like a lovely guy.
Mm.
But we were doing chat about cars and things.
How many other people are there? It's not just you
just
and him.
Me and him.
You and him. Who has a barbecue on their own?
Right.
Well, a barbecue's a communal event. Don't do a lonely barbecue.
He says to me at the start.
The lonely barbecue?
He says to me at the start, oh, the missus will be down in a minute. So it'll be the three of us. And I'm like, okay, that seems
right,
fine.
That seems like it would relieve some of this sexual tension right. over these charring sausages.
Guess who never turns up?
His wife. Right. And guess what he's got under his apron? Nothing. And guess how erect his penis is? Very. To breaking point.
Is it like Harlan's?
Like Harlan's with a clear tear? No. What's that print? That better be some sort of Caesar salad sauce, son.
Anyway, so he...
And this is all heading towards a fart, of course.
Well, of course
we
it
know
is.
That.
He starts doing the bark, so we put down the blankets.
Oh, my God, blankets!
I know, there were blankets. So we put down the blankets, and he's, like, telling me all about the food.
How did you coordinate that blankets were going to be put down?
Well,
Like, handed you one?
He did it himself.
And he went, oh, I want to hammer the blankets, otherwise they're going to crease in the corners. It won't
He was very like meticulous about pulling them out right to the corners as well, so I helped at one point pulling them out.
I hope he was that
corners.
Meticulous when he was taking down your drawers.
So we do the blankets, and then we do the small talk and the cars, and I go through, like, basically his whole life's history, asking him about everything.
Anything good in there?
Loads of good stuff. He used to work in Spearmint Rhinos in Brighton.
Pretty
which,
good.
Which
Pretty
then changed
good.
To another strip club, because it was bought by some American who didn't understand the business. And then
bought it as a going concern. Right. Got all the infrastructure, got the poles.
And they wanted to sell it, but then he stepped in and he started to save it, and they made loads of money.
It's
anyway,
brilliant.
This is too many details.
He's the stripper king.
But with the things, like, for example, when he was going through, I've marinated this pork and I've got these sausages from a special halal shop and all these kind of things.
Is it halal?
It is halal. And he said, I'm not really into that, but I'm going to go with it because it's excellent quality sausages. Mm. Anyway, so then...
Fair enough. So I like to know my sausages have suffered. I don't like my sausages going quietly into that good night. Do
no,
you?
No, no,
that,
no.
That his dad.
Been through the maximum
Dylan Thomas's
pain.
Dad. These sausages went out screaming in agony, sort of like you're about to be once I've got these blankets nice and flat.
So we do the blankets, and the blankets is the first time that I notice a fart. Because what ends up happening... It's
How near is the blankets to the barbecue the, and everything? And isn't the smell of the cooking meat...
There's about,
obscuring the fart.
There's about a metre or two, I would say, between the blankets and the barbecue. It's just a little barbecue, just one of those.
What one you've bought from a garage?
No, this is like, he's had this a while. It's a proper like iron one. This guy, he tells me, he says, I'm serious about barbecues. I've done many, many a barbecue.
There's two things I know, strip clubs, barbecues, three things, and having sex with strangers on the sex blanket. Is that the sex blanket? That's in the wash. That's the substitute.
Anyway, the first time he puts the blanket down, I notice, and I think, oh, it's just one of those accidents. I'm obviously not going to mention it. He does a massive couple of farts.
Loud, audible farts.
Really loud.
What's his physical appearance like at this point? Because I'll take a fart from a good-looking person all day long.
He's like, he's got long hair in a ponytail, a bit Harland-esque.
Ooh.
Not as Harland, you know, as Harland. He's not like a god. But, you know, he's fairly tidy.
Fairly tidy. Don't mind if I do. Fill my snout with your pipe gas, sir.
So the first time he, like, crouches down to put the blanket down, I do notice a couple of, like...
Oh, not blubbery ones. Yeah. Not blubbery loose like, ones.
Those
you
ones.
Want to feel like he's in control of that.
But, like, I think, better not mention it.
No.
You know, it's just, I've only met him a couple of times.
We're neighbours.
But then every time he does something where it involves, obviously, a tiny little barbecue on the ground.
He's squatting all the time. He's down there all the time to flip, to turn.
Every time he does it, another few farts. Then he has a Guinness.
Oh, God, that's going to make it
right.
richer. That's going to thicken the blood.
It does make it a lot,
that's
lot
gonna
worse.
That's going to toughen up the brew.
Anyway, eventually we do go up to get... I know, again,
oh God,
I'm sorry.
No,
we
Gareth,
have to go up and get the vegetables.
I feel like I'm going to be telling all of this to the authorities.
Upstairs. And we go up there and he goes, oh, you'll meet the missus and, you know, she'll come down with us.
She's not there, is she?
Well, she is there.
What's
she's
she like?
Absolutely furious when she sees me. Turns out it's her birthday tomorrow, and he's gone and invited me to this obviously private barbecue between the two
What's
of them.
What's going on with?
She's furious. She refuses to come down. So he goes up and he says, "Oh, this is whatever name is. I'm not going to reveal it, although I've revealed his name." Yeah. And then she goes. She looks at me. She goes, "Hello."
Cold.
Cold. Absolutely cold.
Need them farts to warm up the atmosphere.
Honestly, I'm doing my very best. At this point, I recognise this is a problem. Like, I've overstepped the mark. I shouldn't be here. He's farting at will. I shouldn't even be in this flat.
You're ankle deep in fart
gas. I make a comment about their spice rack because it's the only thing I'm literally searching for.
What did
for.
You say about it?
I just said, oh, you've got a nice selection of spices.
I hope you
here.
Didn't say nice rack because that's going to make things even worse.
Yeah, spicy farts, nice rack. I didn't say any of them.
All of the things you're capable of saying.
Right, exactly. So I didn't have to be absolute best behaviour. I help him take the vegetables downstairs. At this point, it's dark.
This is quite late. Intensive it's visit as well, isn't it? You've done a lot of graft here.
A lot of stuff. We've been there for a couple of hours. Mm. I know his entire life at this point.
He weren't even going to go.
And he's done, by this point, I would say, at least a dozen farts. At least. Probably more every time. Anyway, we get to the barbecue and finally it's
is
ready.
Is he mentioning them?
By the time the barbecue, at this point, we're in the dark. It's pitch black. She hasn't come down. She's absolutely furious. He's saying how he's getting progressively a bit more drunk. He's saying how absolutely delicious this is going to be. I'm doing lots of
2 hours though.
This does smell nice.
Too much kind of stuff. Too much build up.
And then
to the barbie.
After his final fart of the evening, he finally says to me, because I'm thinking it's a medical condition. It absolutely has to be. Someone to do that many farts,
many farts
and not go sorry about that. Anyway, he turns to me and he goes, oh, sorry about the farts, by the way. And I'm like, oh yeah. And he goes, yeah, it happens when I've had like quite a lot of Guinnesses, and I did have quite a few yesterday as well. And I was like, no worries at all. That was it. Anyway, that is the fart story. There's
it's
not
good.
Like a big crescendo.
Well, I thought it was full of crescendos. It kept on giving the whole story. I was worried about you. You live with these people.
Yeah,
what's going to happen next? Where's it going to go?
Well, I've got to return the plate at some point because he gave me some stuff and then I took it home.
Slip that on a bloody...
Just put it on
the doormat.
And get out,
get
of, there.
Out of there. Don't ever go back, gal. No. I don't think so. I don't think there's any good can come from this okay. relationship. It started with too much intimacy, blankets laying flat, incessant farting.
Yeah.
It's not right, is it?
It's not right, is it?
Because I was doing quite a few farts when we were watching City Arsenal.
Yes,
but
I know. Paled in comparison.
Paled. And I was going, sorry about this. I'm sorry. I apologise for them as individuals. Yeah. Like, each of them's my individual. My bairns. Yeah. Each of my bairns offer a wee apology for. Sorry for that one. One little squeak of that one. Oh, he had a little undercut, that wee fella. Like, I apologise for each and every one. I don't wait till the final one of the night.
No.
Like, I'm Dean Martin. And you may have enjoyed some of these farts. Let's take it home. Like it was like a concert.
That's
an
right.
arse concert.
An arse
he
concert.
Gave you a concert from his arse,
yes,
didn't
he? Did. Yeah.
It's a good story, gal. I often do a little fart here or there during the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with Chris.
Oh.
Today he did one, then I done one straight back. It almost became part of the Jiu-Jitsu. But my next move was going to be to put my leg over his head. Mm. But I thought, while it's still cradled in the gusset.
No. But what if that's something you had to do to win the fight?
I just wouldn't do it
just
because there's
it.
A certain
You'd
respect.
Sacrifice
he is
the win.
My teacher. There's a certain level of respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to sacrifice to win because he's being respectful. Look. Okay, Newcastle United. It is customary at Premier League football matches to begin with a rousing anthem. West Ham, of course, have I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. You'll Never Walk Alone. At Liverpool, Z Cars Forever. And many clubs have, sometimes they do the same one. Like Brentford are using Hey Jude. What's the connection?
Right.
Anyway, but like Newcastle are using the music out of Omen.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. That's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially if they're owned by Saudi Arabia and all that.
Sure.
I don't think it's the right message. Something a bit more jaunty.
Yeah.
Like, don't draw attention
to the nefarious potential. Yeah.
Yeah, particularly as they are getting quite good now. Do you think they're going to beat Arsenal and put the tin hat on Arsenal's campaign? That's, just end
it's,
it?
It's possible.
Likely, isn't it?
Very, very good.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, maybe it's down to that.
Do you know what the lyrics are?
No, go on.
We'll drink your blood.
Wow.
We'll invite you to a barbecue. We'll fart the whole way through it. I've got a wife. She's not that nice. You are not welcome in my dum 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 dum. Where's my fucking plate gone? Dun 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 dun.
Very good. That's good.
Thanks, thanks. Jacob Murphy of Newcastle is able to open his mouth surprisingly wide.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Did you see that expression he gave the other day when he scored that absolutely amazing goal?
Yeah, that's when I've learned it.
Yeah.
About his ability
And then
to...
the pundit afterwards, who I was interviewing, was like, was that because of your goal? And he went, no. I was like, oh, come on, mate, of course it was. He said it was about the fact that they were now winning by 2 goals or something, which I thought, it can't be that. It must be that
there
it
he
was...
is doing it. I used to have my mouth really wide, but then something happened to my jaw and I can't do it no more.
Oh.
It used to be surprisingly wide. I've lost it.
Oh, what a shame.
It was a great... I used to have shown that lad a trick or two. Not in the area of football, where, of course, he would definitely triumph.
He would, yeah.
No,
he's doing ever so well. He used to be in and out of the team. Now he's a regular starter. Just to get some actual football facts in there.
Is he one of the ones that was like no good and like good now? Like
he's one of them. That
the long staffs were always good.
Like under Bruce, he didn't play, and under even
don't even need St. Maxim no more.
Well, he don't. He was the only
the
way
man
they could
mummy. Like every single limb wrapped in a bandage.
He doesn't seem to be as necessary anymore, does he, St. Maxim? He's still a brilliant player. I know. I don't think he's going to go.
He'll come anywhere. West Ham. Here's some players West Ham will get in.
Go on.
And that lad with two surnames that Arsenal don't want no more.
Reece Nelson?
No, the white lad, blonde hair. Come on, Jamie, this is your time to shine.
Come on.
He was good
for
a season.
Smith Rowe.
Smith Rowe. We'll get him.
Yeah, you'll probably get
That's
him.
That's the sort of things we get.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, the thing with West Ham at the moment is
we might still get relegated. Our last two games against Leeds and Leicester. No, we're on 34 points.
They're going to be absolutely fine. They're fine. They're playing well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll win that European Conference made-up
That would be
cup.
Amazing. But the fact that West Ham have gone back to playing Antonio up front, I think it's interesting. They've got like Danny Ings and who's that other fella? Corno, they got from Burnley. Yeah. And they don't play him now. It's like we've gone back to
Antonio. Yeah, that hustling, bustling tank of
That's
a man.
Right. They were unlucky the other day, 4-3. I mean, terribly defensive.
The Palace game.
Yeah, the Palace game. Yeah.
You can't keep getting Roy Hodgson out and then having him actually manage your team very successfully. Although you can. Roy Hodgson, like during the COVID pandemic when games were played behind closed doors essentially, he weren't meant to be there because he was too old.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he was maybe shielding, which we now know weren't bloody doing anything. They told Roy Hodgson to shield him, but
I like Roy Hodgson because I sort of like the way he's sort of relaxed when he's talking like that. Roy Hodgson.
Like now he's actually, well, they won sort of six on the bounce, they're right out of trouble. How can Roy Hodgson, who's all sort of old and lovely like a melting ice cream, be better at managing than Vieira, who's like it's also sexy and potent?
It's
nothing makes sense.
I mean, look, the one thing that
it's
people have said
is
the fixtures that this like,
fixtures.
Apparently Vieira himself was like, once we get to these fixtures, we'll be okay.
We're getting old Roy Hodgson. We're digging him up out of the ground, sticking him up.
But it's amazing. I think he's won 4 out of 6.
And Hodgson. Sam Allardyce, Big Sam, a man who I've kissed, back at Leeds for 4 games for a purported between $1 to $4 million.
Oh my
god! And Sammy the Barrel Lee. Not joining him because of jury service.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. You've got to go.
Right.
Drop
also,
out of the jury service.
Well, yeah,
Sammy
also,
Lee.
What happens if there's like a verdict after day one?
Sammy Lee should push for that.
Of course he should.
Sammy
he's guilty or he's not.
Guilty, not. What do you lot reckon? Not.
Yeah,
he's
fine,
not
good.
Guilty.
We'll go with it. I've got John
Big
Sam.
$1 million. Yeah, keep Leeds up. We got Leeds. Look, what worries me is the sweet poetry of football. The sweet poetry of football, which I don't like to see exploited, neither by, you know, what rogue states, even though perhaps we're just talking about sort of chronology, really, because all states are rogue states ultimately, aren't they? That's a question for you to answer. Like, or, you know, Wrexham, the sort of the harnessing and utilising of sort of romance and goodwill for commodity and product. Now, you're saying that it's not that, and I'm obviously I bow to your superior knowledge.
Oh, I'm not saying that it's not
optimism.
That. I'm not saying it's not that. I'm just saying that there is a byproduct of that as well, and they seem to be going about things in the right way.
Well, that poetry, thank you, for good counterpoint. But like, I think the fact that West Ham got Leeds and Leicester as the last games, that's what worries me. Like, because like they could be 6-pointery type
games.
I
don't think you got anything.
And you know that last day of football, and it goes at 3:05, it was these three teams.
Yeah.
And then it was at 7:07, it was these teams.
I can't see Leeds, especially Leeds, getting anywhere near enough points to even get close to West Ham at the moment.
Mathematically, it might be possible for Chelsea to be relegated, but sort of it's unlikely because they're on 39 points.
39, yeah.
No, wouldn't it be amazing if Chelsea got relegated?
Incredible. Be incredible. Yeah, it'd be more of a story than when Leicester won the league, I think.
Right, Chelsea, you've got to relegate. Like, they've got so many good players, sometimes you forget who they all are.
Incredible.
Like, well, Raheem Sterling's there. What the hell's going on? They've got Aubameyang.
I don't think we've seen a demise of a football team with the amount of resources that they've got ever. I don't think ever. It's absolutely, I've never seen anything like it in all of the time I've been watching the Premier League. It's absolutely incredible.
I take no delight in Frank Lampard not doing well, though, because I've always liked Frank Lampard.
Yeah, I really
admire him. Even though West Ham fans
him.
Don't like Frank Lampard. I like him.
I like him a lot. I think he seems like a really
decent
guy.
He's
very,
all right.
Very articulate, very clever bloke. But that point when he went back to Chelsea and the pundits were like, it's win-win, I thought, it's
what
absolutely
it's,
not win-win.
What if it's lose, 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 lose? That's worse than win-win. in. What is legacy danger? I mean, like, would you, if you think, like, this is the thing is, right? We make decisions based on what we secretly want.
Right.
That's what, like, you know, that you can't con an honest man. Like, because you want to believe things are going to be okay, it makes you look at some of the fucking things we've done. Yeah. Like, it'll be all right. No, it's exhausting. It's what it is. It's exhausting. You know, like, you don't consider, like, what will it be all right, though, Frank, if you lose all of them games? Right. We'd be all right. Yeah, I suppose his status as a legend is assured on the basis of his impeccable career as a footballer.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a shame, really.
It's like amazing how things can change in a short period of time, isn't it? You've got Frank Lampard now, which, as you say, is in danger of ruining his legacy with Chelsea. And then Roy Hodgson, two stints at Palace, well, especially this stint at Palace, where he's going to be like a legend forever at Palace,
yeah,
for coming and doing what he's doing, especially if they continue in the vein of form that they are at the moment.
Couldn't happen to a nice man, because I love Roy Hodgson.
Lovely.
He's a man, Nan. He's a lovely man, Nan.
Yeah.
I just want to say, finally, Richarlison's got his... Who gets their own face tattooed on themselves?
Madness. Absolutely.
Even as part of a montage that includes Neymar and that other player that whose name I don't know. I mean, it's like a... Why would you... That's a weird thing to do, isn't
it's
it?
A really
and does
weird
he put
thing.
Himself in the middle as well?
I think
his own...
he has, yeah. I think he has.
At least put yourself as one of the background figures. A photograph tattoo is always, it's an interesting thing, and I would never, you know what I mean, because usually it's a homage to a
sure.
dead relative, isn't it? It's like sure. my nan or someone I've lost or someone I loved or something. But it's a, oh, it's someone I love very much. Who? Me. Someone I just never want to forget. Who? Me. If that, you can actually, and also if you put like your own face, you can see it in a mirror, and then you could put your, is it Roberto Carlos? Who is the other one? It's like
oh, is
Neymar
it Danny Alves?
On the
is
right.
it Danny Alves?
Danny Alves. Like,
it's not even like, yeah.
And then what's going on down the bottom there as well? It's a really interesting thing to have done. And like, didn't Neymar said he wanted that to be took off? So I don't want that there. You can't just put me there. Neymar actually looks the best. He looks gorgeous.
Yeah, he looks
Danny
great.
Alves looks like saying, come on, please, Richarlison. And Richarlison's just like, no, no, I'm going to take my shirt off and reveal this. And what if that's got a tattoo on its back of that?
Right.
I mean, when does this end?
When does it end?
That's a fractal.
It certainly is.
It's the Richarlison fractal.
Wow.
Now, that's a name for an episode.
It certainly is.
Look, just listen to this bit of prose, apparently by Alan Shearer in The Athletic. I love The Athletic.
Yeah.
Damn fine publication. Every week or so, Shearer meets with another footballer or whatever. This time, Ian Wright over at Highbury.
Lovely.
Listen to this unlikely prose by Shearer. Like, they've got to have a ghostwriter. Shearer can't write like this, can he? When we embrace in front of the old facade of Highbury, Arsenal's former stadium on Avenel Road, a cold tingle brushes my spine. This place, man, classy with its fabled marble halls, but forever hostile. A narrow pitch with their fans on top of you and Tony Adams, Steve Bould and Martin Keown, and their warrior centre halves unleashing hell. I poke my head into the lobby and nod at Herbert Chapman's bust. Herbert, this is a model of Herbert Chapman. It's not like a man with titties.
Oh, Herbert.
Oh, hello there.
I don't mind if I do.
And have a flashback to those times when I hobbled through the door after matches, whether for Newcastle or Blackburn Rovers. There was a broken nose, 4 stitches in my lip, 6 in my eye, the savoury tang of blood on my tongue.
No.
Shearer's not going to say savoury tang of blood on my tongue and get that delightful alliterative at the end of
words,
is he?
Well, unless we've just really vastly underestimated Shearer's talents. And he's
but all the while he's sat there
he's
on Match of the Day.
Writer.
He's like sat there thinking like Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah. Beautiful, haunting, gothic poetry forever in his mind.
Yeah, and then maybe they tell him, like the producer's like, just tone it down a bit, Al. Just do the kind of usual stuff. People, know, they're not into that.
People can't say that,
no.
Alan.
No.
That's too deep.
Yeah.
Just say something that's manageable.
Yeah.
A manageable, forceful alpha piece
yeah.
of analysis.
Just seem like you're a little bit disappointed
bit
about
disappointed.
Haaland getting these records. Just
yeah.
do that.
Sort of amusingly disappointed, not yeah. like you're actually some sort of genius
yeah.
in an entirely different field. All right, well, there you go. Thanks for your contributions. It is in the form of unusual injuries. Let us know what football stories and indeed sporting tales you'd like us to see covered. Thanks for listening or watching. Remember, you can access Football Is Nice wherever you listen to podcasts in full, or you can listen to it on Rumble every Thursday. Is football nice?
It certainly is.
Football is nice.